So we all remember the movie Spider-Man, right? The one a few years ago, not this most recent one. Now, Peter Parker got picked on a lot by a bully named Flash Thompson in high school. And of course, Peter makes his trip to the science lab, and he has the problem with the spider, and he finds himself with these amazing powers. So what happens the next time Flash Thompson decides to mess with him? Well, he beats the tar out of him, doing all these flips, and he doesn't even have to use his spider webs. He just beats him up because he's too fast. But then Peter's uncle pulls him aside later on, and he says this guy, Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened. But just because you can beat him up doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility. We remember that line. Now, I don't want you to think about Spider-Man as much when we talk about the temptation of Christ as the power aspect. Satan was challenging his ability to do things, but also his identity. If you are the Son of God, that's how he prefaces all of his temptations. Now, if you think about it, there are three sons of God in the Hebrew Scriptures. The first one is Adam. And Adam fails, not in the wilderness, but in the garden. The other son of God was Israel itself. Israel failed where? In the wilderness. The third son of God was the king, represented by David and his descendants. Well, the king failed as well to live up to what the king was supposed to do. But this passage parallels the second son of God, the premier son of God, the children of Israel themselves, who were in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Psalm 78. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, and they said, "Can God really spread a table in the wilderness?" So the Son of God, Israel, failed in the wilderness. Now what of Jesus, whom we call the only begotten of the Father? So the devil offers this challenge. Is the true Son of God strong? Surely you have some power. The devil is perfect in his theology. He knew the creed before it was written. Perhaps the part about the resurrection he wasn't so sure about. But he had insight to Jesus' mission to bring good news to the poor and to ascend to the cross. And he offers a way out. You want power, you want authority, take it. So what was tempting about what the devil offered? Two things. Power, success, and also whether or not Jesus should trust. Firstly, the devil's temptations weren't really about bread or idolatry as much as they were to get Jesus to show off. More deeply, they were about Jesus gaining the renown and the applause that he deserved. Magic bread would make people flock. All the kingdoms of the world would speak to poor little Jesus boy as he grew up in an irrelevant little town called Nazareth. Being rescued by angels would show power that the world has never seen. Now, we love the applause, do we not? Until it stops. We want to be attractive, do we not? Until we're not anymore. We want to be relevant, do we not? Until another voice comes along, or another face comes along, or someone who is better than we are at whatever it might be comes along. The temptation may not be to have great success, but to fight, perhaps, an inadequacy that we feel. The two are actually very related. Listen to the words of Madonna. She says, "I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage and think I'm mediocre and uninteresting again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me and pushing me. Because even though I become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." Now, this was written a couple decades ago. But I have a friend who is in the rock and roll business, and he sets up for different bands and different artists and does sound, lights, etc. And recently, he did Madonna's show, and he was told, under no circumstance, to look at her, to talk to her, to smile at her, or to interact in any way at all with her. Just in case somebody forgets that she's somebody. Well, power and success can be a temptation because of pride or because of feelings of inadequacy, or because of both. But Jesus would have none of that. What was at the heart of these temptations for Jesus was the doubt that the devil tried to produce. Doubt not just in his ability, not just in his identity, but in his relationship with the Father. There is a link between temptation and trust. Jesus was hungry. Would God provide? Jesus was on a mission to build a kingdom. Or was he? God promised the comfort of the holy angels. Would they come? Psalm 91, Jesus quoted from and knew. "Who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." Was that true? Not only did Satan try to place doubt in Jesus being the Son of God, but also the relationship that he shared with the Father. Could he trust him? Can you trust him? When we are hungry, will he provide? When we need comfort, will he be there? Well, Jesus, just a few chapters later, preached on just that. "I tell you, do not worry. Don't worry about your life and what you will eat. Don't worry about your body and what you will wear. There is more to life than eating. There are more important things for the body than clothes. Think about the ravens. They don't plant or gather crops. They don't have any storerooms at all. But God feeds them. You are worth much more than birds. Can you add even 1 hour to your life by worrying? You can't do that very little thing, so why worry about the rest? Think about how the lilies grow. They don't work or make clothing, but here is what I tell you. Not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God dresses the wild grass, how much better will he dress you? After all, the grass is here only today. Tomorrow it is thrown into the fire. Your faith is so small. Don't spend time thinking about what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. People who are ungodly run after those things. Your Father knows that you need them. But put God's kingdom first, then those other things will also be given to you as well. His words have a little more credibility. Having faced those temptations for himself. He could teach about trust because he trusted. Let's take that with us this week. Temptation is not doing naughty things and getting whacked by a cosmic ruler on the knuckles. Temptation is tied to trust. Is God enough for us? Is he our all in all? Do we trust him? If not, what do we trust? And what or who is our all in all? Let us pray.